Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
But I'm also now picturing, like, the cameramen. Like, it's not like it feels like we're watching a couple at home just talking, so it's not crazy that he has, like, his phone as she's talking to him. But the thought is that there was a shoot schedule. People came to this house, set up for a scene, and this nigga was like,
I'd rather be on my phone.
So wild. It's so wild when you picture it that way. And it's like, yeah, he's so in the wrong.
Like a BB moment, which is like a beautiful black moment. Did we get any of those in this episode?
Black. We have a chaotic bi moment of the
chaotic bi moment. Yeah. And you're watching Black Bi Reality.
With Black Bi Daddy.
And those who love us.
Hello, you're watching and or listening to Black Bi Reality, a place for Black Bi baddies and those who love us. We are back to recapping Love Is Blind Season 6. I'm Nicole Weaver, and I'm here with my co-host, Quita Tinsley. Hi, Quita.
Hey there.
Hello.
Oh my gosh, this next drop.
The next drop, it's also juicy, and luckily it's only 3 episodes, so we have more time to talk about this. Who do we want to start with when it comes to our recap, since we're doing it by couples?
Like, in my notes, I have Ken and Brittany. Like, I wrote, like, that.
No. And we thought Ken and Brittany were easy. They were gonna marry, you know, not too complicated. Principal, teacher, what could go wrong?
It seemed like such the perfect match.
Yeah, yeah. This is so interesting. So we pick up, they're in Dominican Republic. Kenneth is talking to Brittany about his conversation with AD on the beach.
Yes.
About raising black kids.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And Brittany is like, oh, that's cool. As long as she's not doubting my skills area.
Yeah. Or she kept being like, as long as she has good intentions.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, what would be bad intention? You know, I'm like, what do you?
Yeah.
I'm a black woman expressing concern around, I mean, you know, it's like, I think the question of like, are y'all close enough for her to be asking you that? Maybe could be a bit more, you know, because as far as we know, AD and Kenneth aren't really close, right? Or didn't talk very much in the pods, as far as we know, right?
I can see them having some time in the pods, maybe, because I guess some people wouldn't know AD is black from her voice, but I don't know. In my head, I'm like, he was probably trying to give as many of the black girls a shot as he could, and then end up choosing Brittany.
Yeah, maybe, you know, but I think, yeah, I'm like, it makes sense that AD would be asking these very real questions of like, have you asked Brittany these things about if y'all were to get married, how would it be raising children together? Those are very valid questions. But then it's like, Brittany kind of let us know, this ain't my first time dating a black man.
that was wild. And, like, I think we pretty much assumed that being the case. But, yeah, I wrote it down. I was like, Brittany makes it clear this isn't her first rodeo.
Right.
How dare I be questioned by an expert in this field. So she asked Kenneth what needs to happen for him to tell people that they're good. Because basically he was like, yeah, I'm going to have to see some things before I vouch for you, my girl.
Yeah. Which is also valid. Like, we haven't seen you handle a tough conversation around race. So, like.
He also answers he needs to see her in the real world.
Exactly.
And boy, does he get to see her in the real world. But first, they're on this boat. It's mad quiet. The title to episode 7 was something like The Silence Speaks Volumes.
The way this episode was, or like this particular moment was edited, I'm like, it is so uncomfortably quiet.
Yeah.
And like, I was like, at first, I'm like, I can't make my own projections around like how quiet it is onto this couple. But then I kept watching, and I'm like, Brittany's body language, it seems like she's also feeling how heavy the silence and how awkward it is. And then you kind of start to see her be like, okay, are you going to talk to me at all? Especially when the dolphin moment happens.
I forgot those dolphins. Yo, Kenneth.
Right.
Like, hold up. Did I ever talk to you about dolphins?
Right. This man loves him some dolphins. Like, complete 180. It's like personality. I'm just like, maybe he's just really, really quiet all the time. Like, them dolphins really came through and saved us all
But then later on, that eating scene between Clay and AD, I was like, maybe this is the awkward silence. Either way, they're like, every awkward silence we can get, all these couples, we're going to show you.
Right. You're going to sit in it with us.
Yeah. But also, it's like, so nothing else happened between these couples? Like, this is the best bits they're putting in there? Weird.
Yeah, right. I mean, it speaks volumes maybe on how they were interacting with each other also, you know, because it definitely seems like Kenneth and Brittany weren't engaging with each other very much, especially it's like you kind of see it physically in the Dominican Republic, but like, and then on the boat, like, I was just like,
she brought it up.
Right.
Look, I don't know if you're trying to be respectful or what, but I need you to touch me more, even if it's just like a hand on here or here. Right. Like anything. Right. This woman is touch deprived. Kenneth. Right. Kenneth is shocked because he thought he was smothering her.
And I was just like, don't sit up here and lie. There's no way that you could feel like you were smothering her. Yo, I barely see you touch her. Don't do that.
I was like, what? At this point, I was still obviously like on Kenneth's side and just he was very attentive before. So I'm like, oh, maybe he's like really attentive and just like noticed something. And he was like, oh, all right. I'm just going to like keep to myself. But who knows? Who knows? So, yeah, she wondered if he was not into her. And he's just like, no, that's not the case. In fact, Ken said he's been told he's overly affectionate. So he was overcorrecting. But then, this is weird, because Brittany calls him a gentle giant and says his hands are so big. And I'm just like, I don't know. Maybe I'm looking into everything because they're literally not speaking to each other.
Right.
There's just so much uncomfortable things about everything that they're saying to each other.
Right. Yeah. It is very uncomfortable. I think a part of it is like the lack of chemistry between them. Yeah, so then it kind of makes everything that Brittany's doing feel cringy, and then it makes the silence feel, like, very heavy.
Yeah.
you know, because I feel like even with other couples that we've seen on this show, there seems like there's maybe if there's not like mentally a connection, sometimes there's physically a connection that's sustaining them through. But like, I'm like, they don't seem to be like physically, mentally, emotionally like connected very much after the pods.
No. Yeah, what we saw from them in the pods was bonding over having to grow up fast
mm-hmm.
and their past. So it was literally trauma.
Mm-hmm.
They agree on the important values. I don't remember a fun date between them.
I don't either, honestly.
So they might have not had this at all in their dynamic and then did not realize because they align on the most important thing.
Right. And so they might have assumed that once they got home or like once they saw each other, some of that physical chemistry would be there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not at all. And
yeah.
It's like y'all are just friends and this is not feeling like a husband and wife dynamic or even boyfriend, girlfriend, not even lovers. Like this is very platonic. It's giving coworker a little, honestly, with some of the ways that Ken's just engaged.
We'll talk about it. So Kenneth, they're back home. He's on the phone catching up with work. Brittany is unpacking the new apartment. He's like, oh, you're definitely cooking tonight. Because we're crystalling the place. The phone is so big.
I mean, I can't lie. You know, I mean, it's like we can't just try to act like not, a lot of people are on their phones a lot of the time. I mean, even myself, I'm constantly on my phone all the time, right? But I think the thing is, like, they are so early. And they're related, like they literally just got out of the pods. They literally just went on vacation with each other. It felt like immediately when he got home, it's like, okay, now he has something that can distract him. Whereas when he was in the DR, he's still just as quiet and not really engaging with her.
Yeah.
But he's just like staring off. So maybe you think like, maybe he's just very quiet. And it's like, then he gets home and it's like, oh, it seems like he would rather be doing anything.
Than
engaging with her.
It's awful. It's so awful. Oh my god. So she tries to bring this up like multiple times. One, he's literally on his phone as she's talking to him. She says there is distance between them
mm-hmm.
and he doesn't seem peaceful. Kenneth said that she's overanalyzing him because he's not always low energy. So he asks for grace.
I think I was more so on Brittany's side, but I was seeing where he was coming from.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I mean, this comes up several times in across couples of this idea of grace, which is like, mm-hmm. yes, we all need to extend grace and compassion to everyone,
mm-hmm.
even in romantic relationships. But I think also some of the ways this thing of grace is just being used as an excuse to not be honest about what's going on. And I think that moment with Kenneth, I was just like, sir, you telling me you're waking up and having a bad day, like on what we can assume is maybe like the sixth or seventh day of you being with somebody, like, you know, like it's like,
yeah.
Like, it doesn't seem like you're very interested in her at all, you know? Like, and I'm like, can you just name that? Just say that. Like,
Yeah, that's a possibility. At this point, I think I was still, I don't know, I think I was blinded by Kenneth a little bit. Because I was like, yeah, not always are you jumping out of bed and being like, good morning, because that was the specific example, but I'm also now picturing like the cameramen. Like, it's not like it feels like we're watching a couple at home just talking, so it's not crazy that he has like, his phone as she's talking to him. But the thought is, is that there was a shoot schedule. People came to this house, set up for a scene, and this nigga was like,
I'd rather be on my phone.
It's so wild. It's so wild when you picture it that way. And it's like, yeah, he's so in the wrong.
He is. And I think it's like, you know, him, this thing of him being like, when they're talking about how he was gone essentially all day, which is like, once we get to the end of all 9 episodes, we start to see that that's something across several couples.
I have a theory. This season of Podmen are up to no good.
No good. I was like, what is this? I don't know. I'm like, I guess being from the South, I was like a little like, wow, y'all are the messiest group of men just as a whole. Because I think, you know, it's like, have there been messy as horrible men on the show? Yes.
But they weren't synchronized.
They weren't all on the same season together.
It's they weren't having group chats and sharing pictures.
Amen. Right.
Going
to
the bars together aren't filming.
I'm like, not Kenneth ain't even coming home. Like, what is going on? Not him being like, I was hanging out with my mentor. Sir, you just got here with this woman who is your fiance. And you're telling me you want to kick it with your homeboy over her so early?
Yeah, it's so wild. It's so wild that all of this is a mess. But yeah, so Kenneth thought, oh, but if I come home real early in the morning and I wake you up, you should then be down for some, like, intimacy or bonding in some way. But she has to get up at 5, so.
So, what? It makes sense why she wouldn't be in the mood at 1 in the morning or 2 in the morning when she was asleep and has to be up in 3 hours. And it's like, can you not understand from her point of view of the time where she's been trying to show affection, you're not as interested. And then all of a sudden at 2 a.m., you are interested in like affection and intimacy. You know, it's like, also she needs grace at this point, but I'm like, it's like with Kenneth, I'm like, either he literally does not like this girl, or he's like a very old school Southern traditional man who's just kind of like, he gets to do what he wants to do at all times. And when he wants to engage with his wife, he will. And she should be happy when he chooses to. Because that thing, and I'm like, why that might be a possibility is the cooking thing, right? Like when they, when she asks, like, oh, what should we do? And he's like, oh, it's our first night home. So of course you have to cook. You know, and I'm like, that's such a interesting, like, approach to it, you know?
Also in the pods that she wanted to submit to a man, so.
Exactly.
Very interesting. I assume she cooked. I assume she cooked,
right?
he ordered up, and she said, yes, I'll do it. Now, their last night together, we should get to.
Yes.
So he said that, yeah, he needed to see his mentor, and he had to get his hair did, and that's why they didn't spend that much time, and Brittany is talking about basically the lack of connection she's feeling with Kenneth. Very specifically, she said that she's missing the crave for him that she had in the pause. He said that, you know what, thank you for saying that. Maybe this isn't gonna work out. And she's crying. He is looking at his phone. And yeah, he didn't want to push himself on her and all of that good stuff. So that was just enough. And in the end, they're broken up. Brittany is sobbing. She has no clue what's happening. And Kenneth, he immediately has mentor, homeboy, whatever, on the phone being like, hey, can you pick me up?
Right. I'm coming over there.
What is going on?
My thing was like, does he have that type of friendship, right? Where it's like, hey, come and pick me up. Like, I need to spend the night at your place. Or is it like it also kind of felt like he had had a conversation of like, I don't feel like things are going well and I might need a place to go. And so that friend was ready to go, you know, like ready to pick him up.
I think some people are absolutely reading it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, because it just felt too easy. And it was just like, he was ready.
He was so ready. I will still, okay. A lot of people are very mad at Kenneth and are looking at him as the villain. At that time when I watched it, I tweeted, I was like, this is probably the best breakup in all of Love's Blind history. He said, let's hug it out so we know there ain't no beef.
Right. I'm like, she might have some beef in her heart, but I'm like, let her process it a little bit longer.
People were so mad at that, but I'm just like, the best thing someone could do is leave when they're not interested. I get that. I think there's definitely a feeling of, but he should have been the one to initiate so she can have that confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how you feel?
Yeah, I think for me it's like the way he would just be like, well, you're not feeling that, but I am. Right? Like, he kept saying that. Mm-hmm. And I hear him on that, like, if that's an insecurity that she has, it might not be anything he can do to make her feel affirmed in that. But I'm like, as an outsider watching, I didn't feel like he was like, other than being like, I want you. That was really the only kind of affirmation that we're seeing as viewers, right? I don't know what they were experiencing. But it's like, he couldn't even recount a time where he actually was like kissing on her or touching on her. He was just like, oh, I wanted to, but you weren't in the mood, you know? So I'm just like, I think it felt like he was just putting it on her. It's like, well, you don't feel this, so that's why we have to end this. Versus like, I think like the way he was like, we have to see our own parts in these things. Was that him? Did he say that? Or was that one of the other guys?
He said that.
Yeah, like, I think it's like taking accountability for how the ways he was engaging with her was not affirming her. And like, there didn't seem like much desire, chemistry between them.
No.
At all.
Yeah, I can't really be that mad at Kenneth. I'm just like, he was just like, bye.
Right. I'm like, okay, well, you don't feel it for me, and I don't want to be with somebody who don't feel that for me.
Exactly. And he didn't try to make her like the bad guy. I think whoever, because you can't even blame if it's just like, yeah, you're just not feeling it and everything. But it is wild to me that I think some people are having a different reaction than me, because I'm just like, he just peaced out. He wasn't too disrespectful with it or anything. He was just like, but then this also reminds me he's 25.
He is 25. But I think that's the piece that's most alarming, is like the way he engages in the relationship is like how old ass people engage in their relationships who they've been married for like 20, 30 years. Mm-hmm. And like, when y'all been in it for decades and you acting like this, that makes sense to me, because I assume at one point y'all were doing the lovey-dovey, you know? It's like, if y'all ain't done none of that yet, like, you haven't been all over her. You haven't been smothering her with kisses or affection. You were sitting on a boat with her and you were acting like you went fishing with your buddy and y'all are just sitting in silence for 6 hours, you know?
It's just his buddy. He said, ain't no beef.
ain't no beef, little homie. Like, give me a hug. I'm gonna go to my homeboy's house.
Exactly.
I'm still rooting for you. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So wild. We'll see. Maybe them at the reunite and see if there's anything left to say. But I think both of these people are going to be perfectly fine.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Amy and Johnny. So they take over Brittany and Kenneth's spot of the pure couple who's probably going to make it down the aisle. What do you think?
For sure. For sure.
They're fighting over baby timelines. Like, it's not even a question whether they'll have the baby. If the baby's coming today or 20 years from now.
Right. But in that conversation, I was like, why y'all acting like condoms are not an option or like other it went from like, well, she's not on birth control. Mm-hmm. You need to consider a vasectomy. Mm-hmm. And that's that. I was just like, there's so many types of contraception. What are we talking about?
As the respect, the respect of daddy of the podcast. Like, hold on.
I was like, wait, what? Like, it was just like a vasectomy or like just waiting for 3 years? Or I was like, y'all.
Yo. Okay, so Johnny, he did do an interview recently with Us Weekly, and he admitted that he was not very knowledgeable about birth control, and that absolutely affected their conversations.
Got it.
Well, Johnny, he tells Laura that they're going to be waiting for sex because she's not on birth control, which I thought this was a lot. He's breaking down his fiance's like birth control situation to Laura.
Yes. Maybe
it's not weird because they all dated each other and they probably all talked about their perspectives on kids. But I was just like, this is a lot of details, my dude. So. And flat out, he's just not ready for kids. Johnny said that he thought every woman was on birth control.
That's a common misconception, Johnny.
It's honestly, it's so privileged. Like, if there's anything that, I thought all women were on birth control. Therefore, if I didn't want to use a condom, I can, even though that does not protect you from so many other things. And it just magically happens. I don't think about it. I don't think about how it works. I don't think about what the effect is on the body.
Just, wow. This is what happens when you teach abstinence-only education in schools.
There you go.
There you go. You have a grown-ass man being like, I thought all women were on birth control, and it's between a vasectomy or abstinence because she doesn't want to be on hormonal birth control. I'm just like, okay. There's a lot of education that can happen here.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. So Amy also says that her parents have been very involved in her relationships in the past. Her dad doesn't approve of her being on the show, getting married so fast. She doesn't know if she'll be able to get married without his approval.
Right. Which, I guess for me, I'm like, so why did you go on the show? If your dad's opinion mattered that much to you, and you did it anyway, then why would him not approving of you getting married be the thing stop you? So what was the point of coming here?
A lot of wishful thinking, I guess. Yeah. But I'm just also, I don't buy this. I think they're the easy couple and nothing is going to get in the way of them getting married.
Trying to manufacture a little bit of drama.
Maybe, because it's like, how do we resolve this drama about the birth control? We can't drag that story out for like the rest of the season.
That's true. And yeah, maybe that's a part of the drama for them.
Although I would love it if the season ends with right after he says yes at the altar and Amy says yes at the altar, they go to the clinic to get that.
Get some reproductive health counseling around your family planning options. Because it's like also hormonal birth control isn't the only type of birth control. Like there's non-hormonal. Also, a part of me started to wonder if a reason why she isn't on birth control is she might have a conservative upbringing also. If her dad's very traditional, like mm-hmm. it's a possibility she could be Catholic and doesn't believe in taking birth control. But it could just strictly be, she's like, I don't want to put this in my body, and that's okay, too.
Yeah, yeah. There's so many reasons why you might not be on birth control. But then what she says later, I was like, interesting. Interesting girly pop. So she also, they're showing each other's apartments. Amy has crystals, which made me think of what's his name from last season? Is Micah on last season?
Yeah, right?
Yeah. The, no. Well, either way. The guy who was engaged to Micah, he said he usually dated girls with crystals.
Oh, Paul? Yeah, he was like very witchy girl. Yes.
Johnny had the opposite reaction. He was like, I do not like the crystals.
That was my thing. He's like, I've heard about the crystal girlies. I'm like, what have you heard? What have you heard, Johnny?
That they're awesome and they're bisexual.
Period.
So they plan to buy a home immediately, which good for them. Johnny said he wants to live frugally so he can retire early. Amy said, well, you never know what could happen, which means you might die tomorrow. Retirement? What American pipe dream are you on?
Right. Right. Exactly. She's like, we got to spend this now while we're here and alive.
Exactly. So differing on that, but then Amy brings up about not being on birth control once again. Johnny wants to wait for children. Amy is hesitant doing the birth control. And brings up the vasectomy. He's like, yeah, I don't believe that birth control is solely on the woman. And I was like, I didn't get any follow-up to the vasectomy, sir. Are we considering it or not?
Right.
How much are you about that?
Exactly. Exactly. He's probably hoping that Amy will come around.
He totally is, and I hate that. I hate that so much.
She was actually saying her doctor recommended birth control because she's anemic and she gets infusions. Because I'm like, birth control can help, like, if you have a lot of heavy bleeding, it can help with that, depending on the type. And so it was so funny. She's like, yeah, my doctor is like, recommended it and talked to me about it because I'm anemic. And she's like, but I don't want to put it in my body. So I'm like, sir, if her doctor couldn't get her to do this, I don't think you, Mr. Johnny, I don't know much about birth control, are going to be able to change her mind either.
Wow. I totally misread that. But I also noticed when they were going back and forth in this conversation that she shows a little bit, and she was like, well, it's not like we can't take care of children if we had one right now. And I was like, Amy, let's be honest. What do you actually, do you want children tomorrow? What are you talking about? We can afford it.
Mm-hmm. I picked up on that too. So I was like, so she wouldn't be mad if she got pregnant tomorrow, which is why Johnny's like, we need to wait.
He's not trying to have a baby tomorrow.
Right.
I don't think, has this come up so much in previous seasons of like, because it can be, because Vanessa Lachey is like, give me a baby.
That's true. Yeah, no.
No one gave her a baby. In Charlotte, they're like, talk about making a baby left and right, or an instant family, or growing a family. And it's like, what's happening?
It's the cultural the cultural dynamics, you know, I love it, honestly, because it's like, depending on where they are, you get to see how like the culture of that region completely influences like a lot of the contestants in the show, right? So it's like, it's so funny to me how we were talking about a lot of these men are trash, but they're also some of the most conservative men, or seemingly, that we've had on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Not to leave out Patriot Boy from last season. But you know, like, but it's like, how, it's so funny because it's like, they're conservative, but then a lot of them are doing very sneaky things or talking about cheating. You know, like,
yeah. Interesting. It's giving fraternity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. They are in a fraternity. They're roaming around out at bars late at night. I don't like it. I don't like it. But Amy and Johnny, they're, like, actually planning a wedding, so they have a dance class. Johnny is fighting for his life on this dance floor. But in the end, we get a slow-mo sequence. I have noticed that the angles and shots that we are getting of people, it's mm-hmm. very cinematic. It's a very cinematic season for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that moment, even on Kenneth and Brittany's excursion, the, like, mm-hmm. overhead drone footage of, like, the water and, like, the swimming with the dolphins, I was like, okay, background footage.
B-roll. And then in the end, the couple host for the first time in their home, Johnny's siblings, the sisters looked young.
Mm-hmm.
They were hyping this up, but I was so painfully aware that they were so hyped that they were on Love Is Blind.
Exactly. They're excited. Like, this is so
there was no parent, I think, in the room. Maybe the dad?
Oh, no, I think it was the siblings. I think that was his brother.
Okay. Okay. Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very interesting. Yes. Anything else we want to say about Amy and Johnny?
I mean, yeah, that family scene, they love her.
Oh, yeah.
Not the, I don't know if I can say this, but you have to say yes.
Yeah. They love her.
They do. They're a cute couple.
They are. All right, Chelsea and Jimmy, they were both involved with Love Triangles. They chose each other. And lovers were spurned. In the Dominican Republic, it seemed like they ended on a pretty good note.
Mm-hmm.
They're able to choke and laugh. But actually, where we really start is that Jimmy, it's awkward because they just fought. Jimmy mm-hmm. asks Chelsea if she's mad at him. And she tells him that she needs to hear, your feelings are valid. I hear you. She had the script right there for him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, my. So many thoughts about Chelsea. There's so many thoughts. There's so many moments.
Chelsea tells the girls later in the DR that they have tussled but not have sex. They go back to the States and she introduces her excited roommate to Jimmy, and Jimmy was like, absolutely not, I'm not living with her.
Right. He's like, no, immediately no. Too much energy.
So much energy. And yeah. He has his own studio. He's like, there's not going to be room in my place. And Chelsea's like, are you kidding me? You have, like, this plant and lights. I'm moving in.
I was like, girl, he lives in a studio.
Yeah.
She was so hyped about that. Like, she was like, shut up. You have a washer and dryer in your closet. I was like, Chelsea.
Now here's my thing. That would have been something to talk about if we were in New York.
You're in Charlotte. Right.
You're in Charlotte where houses are like a dollar.
Well, I'm like, it also shows you, I think, like, how gentrification works everywhere. But because Jimmy also is from a small town too, right? So it's like how much he can afford in the city. I mean, it's very like city boy life, living in a studio apartment, his little bachelor pad. She's like, I'll live in it. I'm like, I think maybe y'all can find a two bedroom or one bedroom or something. Like, a little bit more space. Calm down, Chelsea.
But you know what? Chelsea wanting to move into his place is just so symbolic of their whole dynamic. So later on, Chelsea meets with her friends. They come over while Jimmy is working upstairs. She retells everything that happens in the pause. She says that he hasn't kissed her all day and isn't touchy. She reveals that he saw a picture of Jess yesterday and she's, quote, stunning. I don't know why they're so inclined, because Laura does the same thing too. She gives all the dirty laundry up, and I guess she's like, oh, I figure they're gonna see it, but it's like, this is literally the first time they're meeting someone.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, I guess for me, I'm like, it's clear that she's so insecure in their relationship, but she isn't owning how insecure she's feeling in this relationship. Like, it's, she's not naming, like, I feel really insecure about this dynamic that we have going on. It's like every time she finds something that he's done to be the way that she conveys how insecure she is. But I'm like, because when they, yeah, I'm just like, and you telling your friends from this very insecure place, your perception of your relationship is not a very strong telling. And then tells them about Trevor. I'm like, dang, now they get to scoop on Trevor right here while your new man's is right in upstairs.
But that does kind of show, right, that, like, Chelsea is not really feeling Jimmy. Like, she thinks she is, but it's really, like, the part of her that is seeking validation, like, that's what she's chasing. Because if you were in love with this husband, stressed out about Jolene about to take your man, why are you then talking about another man?
Why is that?
Why is that?
And if, yeah, I think a lot, I like wrote in my notes, I was just like, Chelsea, projections. Because I don't think she's that attracted to Jimmy. Because I just think she also isn't feeling their dynamic because she feels like he isn't feeling it. But I'm like, no, I think both of y'all are not feeling it.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to name that they're not feeling it.
Someone needs to name it. But if the problem is that if Jimmy does name it, like, Chelsea, she's already built up this big insecurity cloud. She's just going to be like, well, I told you so. Like, it's one of those things, and it's so frustrating. So, yeah, Chelsea, Jimmy does join them. Oh, and Chelsea tried to drag him for Phil because she quizzes her friends, and she's like, guys, who do I get compared to? This girl, Carrie Underwood, then Megan Fox. And then she's like, he thought I lied. I'm going to say it right now, and I know this is becoming a whole, like, blue dress, yellow dress situation. I see it. I see it in these new episodes in very, like, in specific angles. It's, like, it's not just the eyes or the hair. It's the lips. You don't see it, Karina. You just
put it. Don't see it, or it's like, I do see it in the eyes and the hairline. I do see it, you know, but I'm like, that when she said that, that is not what Jimmy was picturing.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, and she just has to admit that her saying that to him completely colored his judgment of, which is like the dangerous part, right? Of trying to give someone clues of what you look like in a sly way. Cause then he only saw Megan Fox and you do not look exactly like Megan Fox.
Yeah.
And so he's like, you lied to me.
Yeah.
It's all subjective, but he feels lied to.
Also, it's getting to me. It's like, I wonder how much of, like, the need to tell Chelsea that she doesn't look like Megan Fox, because it's getting, you know, like, the fandom-wise are, like, so angry. I wonder how much it is, like, people being like, how dare a bigger girl even think she can be, compare herself. And it's like, well, if you weren't fatphobic, and ever, like, imagine Megan Fox not being, like, the low Hollywood weight that she is. Yeah. It's like, I think it's not that crazy. It's stupid to me, at least, of like, yeah, he made one assumption on it. But also for me, seeing it, being able to see it, I'm like, well, it's my dumb fault if I'm always going to equate Megan Fox as skinny. Like, that shouldn't be the deal.
Yeah. I think a part of it is, like, even when I imagine Megan Fox fat, I don't, or bigger, because honestly, Chelsea isn't fat. She's just tall and, like, not very thin, right? She's tall and not very thin. I'm just like, to me, their face structures look different. So I'm like, I see it when you isolate here and here, but I just think their faces look different. You know, I'm just like, that's the danger of trying to be like, I look like this celebrity. Because even then, like, when, like, some people are like, oh, Jessica looks like Megan Fox, and it's like, not really, like, kind of.
Exactly. When people started doing that, I was like, I know you're lying. Like, that makes me think it's a little bit of fat phobia, because it's like, because she's skinny and has freaking brown, like, black hair. Like, what are we doing here now?
Right.
A little delulu.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Later on, Chelsea talks to Jimmy and she's like, I want more physical touch, verbal affirmations. She points out that she hasn't been kissed that day. Jimmy is like, oh my goodness. He walks around the island. He kisses her very performatively. And he points out two times he did it. They were very specific. So I'm like, I don't think he's lying, but Chelsea's blowing right past it.
Mm-hmm. Which is the issue with saying things like never or always. Because it's like, you're saying these absolutes. And he's like, I have two examples that I remember where I kissed you with my busted lip for me eating taquitos.
Yo,
in the DR. I remember it very vividly.
He was martyr. He was murdered. He's like, look at what I'm pushing myself through because of my love for you, Chelsea. Think of my lip.
Right. And I'm dead at them putting the clips of him in the DR, like, eating these taquitos. They're like, you remember this. You're going to need this for later on.
So stupid.
She's like, you've never kissed me all day. And he's like, I've kissed you twice. I say I love you all the time. And she's like, you never say I love you. And I'm like, Chelsea, I've heard him say I love you. Like, girl, don't do this. Exactly. Actually, in the pods, he said I love you first.
Yeah. And you were shook. You were absolutely shook.
Exactly. Yeah.
So they keep going back and forth. It's getting heated. Chelsea is in her head wondering if he regretted his decision. She said that she's not feeling the love when he says it, she's piling on all these accusations. And at this point, he's like, well, now I can't even compete of like, well, I don't feel in love when you say it. It's like, they're not in control of that anymore. So right. I get why Jimmy's just like, well, if I'm going to lose, let me just burn the whole house down because Jimmy went to hell.
He did. Yikes.
He went all the way to hell. He's like, you're going to go low. I'm going to go lower.
You're clingy.
You're clingy. She was shook. Like, all of her worst nightmares just were flashing before her eyes. She almost saw red, I think, and was just like, he didn't. And she was like, I watched your show today. I cooked. And then we went upstairs and had sex. This man said it was because she wanted to. And we can take a breather on that too. You know what? When white people decide to breathe, take a breather. I haven't heard anyone say take a breather in a minute. They just be pulling out these phrases.
Right. I was like, oh, Jimmy not playing with you today. He really tired of these little validation arguments. Because it's like, you see her picking these arguments because she literally wants him to validate her. And he's like, nah, we beefing now.
Yes.
Clingy. We didn't even have to have sex this evening. Oh, Chelsea, girl, just say I'm feeling insecure in our relationship and it's really hard for me to feel connected to you. Like, just say that. Because now y'all going back and forth and it's getting worse.
Yeah. She, I think, she also brought up Jess in that argument and was just like, you basically accusing him of switching up since he saw her. I don't even think he said anything about Jess in response, so I don't know if something was cut.
Right.
That's interesting. But yeah, this was wild and ugly.
Right. He left.
Yeah, he did leave. Chelsea was pulling a, well, maybe I'll leave, and instead Jimmy left his own place. He's so sick of you.
And then her being like, the next morning being like, that was so messed up that you left. And I love that he said, well, you were talking about leaving. Thank you.
Yeah. She's like, and then you didn't because you're clingy, so I had to go.
Oh, Chelsea, baby, this is not looking up for you. Please stop.
No, it's not, but she don't know how to quit. She don't know how to quit. She said, she said it was because she was constantly in his space. He was accusing her of being clingy and all that. She was like, fine, I'll leave. But Chelsea, you didn't. Chelsea tells Jimmy he needs to work on his delivery. She's like, I want you to bring up stuff to me. Just like, don't murder me.
Right.
With your words.
Right. It felt hurtful to her, I'm assuming. Or not, I'm assuming, I know. But I think also it's like she can glean something from that, right? It's like he does feel like you're asking for a lot of verbal affirmation all the time. So it's like you got to name where that insecurity is coming from at some point. Like, you have to name it. And it's like, it's clear that you're afraid of what Jessica looks like. Which is why you should have chosen Trevor, because then you wouldn't even have these things to worry about. But you chose the man that another woman wanted, and now you're afraid that she might get him.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't have chose the man whose attention was split in two places.
Oh, boy. Chelsea. She ends up meeting Jimmy's girlfriends of 2 years. So apparently they helped pick the ring. And Chelsea said that she has guy friends, but she was still a little hesitant about Jimmy having girlfriends because she's been cheated on in the past. That's not weird to say at all.
Oh, Chelsea.
Oh, my gosh. She says she won't change anything about their friendship, though. And the girls liked her. They were like, we're all in Love is Blind. I just knew Jimmy 2 years ago. Look where.
Right.
Look at me now.
Right. And, you know, they might be surprised that he's actually coming home with someone, right? Because it's one thing for someone to be like, I'm going to Love is Blind. But then actually one of your people coming home and they're like, I am engaged and we're meeting up for lunch with the whole camera crew.
Totally normal. Oh my gosh. That's pretty much where we left them. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you want to say about Chelsea and Jimmy?
I'm just really excited for the next drop where we see him see Jessica in person for the first time. Because we know he's seen her pictures. But we haven't. He gets to see her in person.
Yeah. Do we want to talk about why he knows what she looks like, because those two are messy, but these two, Laura,
are messy.
Messy
boots.
Hey, baddies. As much as I wanted to be able to fit in Chelsea and Jimmy's drama, along with Jeremy and Laura's drama, it just could not be done. So I had to split our recap into two parts. You can find part two in the same feed if you're listening on the podcast, or in the same playlist if you're watching us on YouTube. Thank you so much. If you liked this episode on YouTube, please like, comment, and subscribe to the channel so you don't miss our other content. We're also recapping Couple to Thruple and The Traitors this season. I've had so many reality TV guests, so please join in on all of that. If you are listening to us on podcast apps and Spotify, thank you so much. Please rate the podcast 5 stars and give us a review. Would love that. And see you guys next time.